check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&C supply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough and I'm joined by James Hill and Nick Watts in this new studio for me. We've not been in here before. And Paul Binfield, of course, is on the line as well for Paddy Power. Coming up, we're going to preview Chester's popular three-day meeting and all the reaction from a fabulous Guineas meeting as well. We'll get straight on in there with Chester on Wednesday. To start us off, we've got the 225 Arkle Finance Cheshire Oaks won last year by Enable, and this year Aidan O'Brien's got three engaged. Dramatically is the most fancied of those. Binners, take it away with a betting show for us, please.
Yeah, three great days at Chester, Maddie. Good weather, beautiful people except for my good self, and luckily we have ITV Racing with Ed Chamberlain and his team doing such a good job for this race. 5-2 Dramatically, 100-30 Kinesthesia, 11-2 Shakarazada. These aren't easy in this race to pronounce, Maddie. Six award winning, 7 Princess Yaza, and it's 10-1 bar.
Okay, Jimmy, I'll go to you first if you can pronounce any of those.
I'll go for one of the easier ones to pronounce, which is award winning. But I do think she's got a good chance of winning too. She was impressive last time when she won at Wetherby, run twice a season and seems to be on the upgrade. I do think there are better three-year-old fillies in her stable, but one thing about her is she does stay well, so this extra furlong and a half in which she's stepping up is really going to suit her, and hopefully the ground won't be too quick for her.
Okay, Watsy, on to you.
Yeah, well, I don't think any of the Aidan O'Brien trio are up to that much, really. You mentioned Enable winning the race last season. I'm pretty certain there's not an Enable in this year's race. And Aidan will have better Oaks fillies than this, happily for one, who I'm sure we'll discuss later, who ran very well yesterday. But given that, I quite fancy Rafe Beckett's horse, Kinesthesia, who I think that's how you say it, won nicely on her debut at Nottingham over a mile. But she's got real middle distance genes in the family, so she should stay this trip no problem at all. Beckett's very good with the fillies, as we know. He's won a couple of Oakses already. Very well bred Kirsten Rousing filly. I think she'll go very well. She's second favourite, so obviously she's quite well fancied already. Mm-hmm. But given that, I don't think the Aidan O'Brien trio on form anyway look anything fantastic. You know, if she's wound up ready to go first time, she should have a decent chance of going close.
And you mentioned Aidan O'Brien. It's an interesting tactic that often, perhaps if he doesn't have a standout, he'll just throw quite a few in and see what he's got. Do you reckon that's what he's done here?
Well, he's got good markers, hasn't he? So, you know, we can have a look at the British fillies through his own three here. Like I said, I'm sure he's got better ones than these three at home. I think we know that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they finish, and yeah, we'll give him a bit of a guide as to what's you know, what he might face at Epsom from the British yards.
Yeah, and they could well step up, as we've seen in the past. Moving on to the 3:35 MBNA Chester Vars. Last year it was won by Venice Beach Wings of Eagles. Remember him? He was in second. Binners, over to you.
Yeah. Well, it's Bellini heading the market at 7-2, Maddie. DXB 9-2. Hunting Horn 4-1. DXB 9-2. And then we have Proschema at 6-1. And it's 8-1. Flag of Honour. And I haven't got these in order. They've only just come in. I think it's 18 bar.
Okay. Well, we'll do our best with what we've got. Jimmy, over to you first, your selection.
Yeah, well, this is a race where you could well see Aidan O'Brien's Derby winner. I mean, you mentioned Wings of Eagles, but he also won this with Ruler of the World before he went on to victory at Epsom a few years back. And he's got a few runners. Interesting, the ones he's going with. Hunting Horn would be the one I like. Ran really well at Sandown last time in the classic trial, staying on nicely. Looking at his pedigree, stamina certainly looks to be his forte. And he is like award winning in the Cheshire Oaks, stepping up in trip here. Mm-hmm. So I'd be very interested to see how he goes. Although once again, he wouldn't want the ground too quick.
Yeah, okay. What's he?
Well, of course, we've got Isbellini coming from that race as well. They both finished behind Savannah Star, who I know is a horse that you think quite a lot of at Sandown. So Isbellini is probably the right favourite. I'd like to see something. I've got similar views to this as I have with the Oaks trial as well. I don't think these are Aidan's best three by any means. That's much as obvious from what we saw on Saturday with Saxon Warrior, who's very likely to go for the Derby next. it would be nice to see a horse from another yard winning this. Maybe a Proschema, don't know how you say it, for Tom Dascombe. That would be good. He's won his first two this season, looked very good at Haydock last time, won by 11 lengths. He's quite interesting. William Haggis runs a horse who won a maiden at Newbury last time, Young Rascal, who looked very good. He would be interesting too. I think my vote would go to Isbellini based on that good run behind Savannah Star last time out. Might be close between him and James's fancy Hunting Horn second and third that day, but it would be Isbellini for me. Again, with, you know, you've got to respect the Aiden trio, but not some of his top notches you wouldn't have thought, this time.
And sometimes they can get a bit, people get a bit carried away just because it's an Aiden O'Brien horse. I'm glad you mentioned Young Rascal, because he was really impressive at Newbury, as you said, won by 5 lengths. He's actually owned by Bernard Cantor of Investec, so he could well be a Derby contender somewhere down the line. It'd be nice to see him run well. Finners, any thoughts on the Chester Bars?
Well, I think James and Nick have summed it up very well. I would prefer Isbellini at the done a fag paper in the Sandown Classic trial. I think he will confirm the form with Hunting Horn behind Savannah Star, who was incidentally very well back that day and seems a lovely horse. But I will go for Isbellini at 7-2.
Okay, so all big fans of the Sandown form. We'll move on to the D Stakes now. My Lord and Master actually beat Young Rascal at Nottingham. He looks to be one of the fancied runners here. Binners, can you confirm that for us?
He's second in, Maddie. He's 3-1. Kenya 9-4 favourite. Finiston Farm at 5s, along with Rastrelli. 13-2 Fortune's Pearl. And you can have 10-1 the rest.
Okay, excellent. Jimmy?
Well, it'd be interesting to see who runs here. Finiston Farm, I was quite impressed with him in the free handicap at Newmarket. I thought he ran a nice race there. Probably didn't handle going downhill that well, but stayed on nicely. Looks to have a lot of potential. I mean, the big question mark is would he handle this step up in trip? It is quite a big step up from 7 furlongs. Mm-hmm. But he should get further than 7 furlongs. So if he can settle, he certainly has the potential to win this.
Okay, before I go to Nick, Binners, I'll go back to you.
Well, Maddie, I'm going to go for Fortune's Pearl for the Andrew Balding team. O'Sheen Murphy's going to ride this. Just touched off by Mildenberger in the Fielding Stakes, which was a good effort. Mildenberger came with a good rattle that day, and I think a repeat will see this horse go close.
Okay, what's he finally over to you?
Yeah, I would quite fancy the Aidan O'Brien horse in this if Kenya takes part. He was quite a good two-year-old. He won the Killavullen Stakes at Leopardstown quite late in the season. He's had a run this time. He finished behind Gustav Klimt, and he's beaten 13 lengths, which, on the face of it, you think that's dreadful. But we know how much Aidan O'Brien's horses can improve from one run to the second. It was very, very testing ground that day, so I doubt we would have been anywhere near fully wound up. I think he'd be much more wound up this time. It'll be much different ground. So I would side with him. I think he's the right favourite, and he could go on and win.
Okay, excellent. The 3:35 Boodles Diamond or Mon Stakes been won by some really good horses in the past, Harbinger and St Nicholas Abbey. Not too sure if we'll see one of those this time around, but we'd love to for sure. Binners, how do they bet?
Well, Maddie, no one cares, but this is my favourite race of the meeting. We go 9-4 Idaho, 5-2 Munterhaar, 7-2 Duretto, 6-1 Max Dynamite, 13-2 Dane Hill Kodiak, and it's 8-1 Bar.
Binners, your thoughts?
Well, Maddie, I'm not usually a favourite man, but I am going to go for Idaho in this. He's got £6 in hand of the rest of the rivals. I think the Coolmore team are possibly trying to turn this animal into a couples in the sort of hoof prints of Yates and Order of St George. And the step up to this extended 1 mile 5 furlongs should tell us a bit more about whether those pretensions are accurate.
Okay, Idaho, he's been a bit hit and miss in his career, hasn't he? There's been some great runs, but also he's struggled to win a bit. Jimmy, are you going to be siding with him?
I am going to be siding with him. Like Binner says, he's got a few pounds in hands of the opposition. He's got the best form. He was third in the King George last season. Looking like a bit further would suit him, and he's going to get that here. I mean, he's also got an entry in the Yorkshire Cup, but I think this would be a better starting point for him. Mm-hmm. I say starting point, I mean, he ran in Dubai a couple of months back, but starting point in Britain. And whether he will prove a cup horse in time, we'll wait and see. It might be that 2 miles might be a bit far from him, but this certainly should be okay. and he should have too much ability for the rest.
Similar story with you?
Yeah, I couldn't put any better myself. He's fit and he had a run out in the desert, so that's okay. Scores highly on the form, on the ratings. You know, like James mentioned, third behind Enable at Ascot last season in Group 1. King George won the Hardwick Stakes prior to that. I think you're right to say he has been a bit in and out, but this is a good spot for him, and he'll have harder tasks throughout the summer. This should get him on a good level before he meets those harder tasks.
And do you think he could make up into a cup horse?
Yeah, he could do. I mean, it's always hard to tell with Ballydoyle. I mean, Order of St George is still going strong, and he won on his comeback last week, and he's kind of the benchmark for them to set all the others against. So he'd be their number one. Where Idaho quite fits in, I'm not sure. But possibly he could well be.
Okay, we'll go for a quick break now, but afterwards we'll look at the 188 Bet Chester Cup.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Player. We're joined in the studio by James Hill and Nick Watts. We've also got Paul Binfield from Paddy Power on the line as well. We've mentioned the start of Chester's meeting, but we're going to crack on now with the Bet 188 Bet Chester Cup at 3:35. That's on the Friday. Now, Marwan Kukash, it's seldom a Chester week if he hasn't got a horse in the winner's circle, and he looks to have magic circle in this. We've got loads of old horses reappearing. Who Dares Wins, he was fourth in this race last year, so plenty to get our teeth stuck into. Binners, how do they bet?
Yeah, a friend of mine keeps calling Marwan Kukash Marvin Kukash. I keep correcting him. It's 7-1 Magic Circle and Stargazer, 10-1 Who Dares Wins, 12 American Gigolo, Jubawi 50 and Grandee, and it's 14 bar.
Okay, have we got any big price fancies for this, Jimmy?
One at a biggish price I like is a horse who finished third in the race last year, Fun Mac. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a bit of rain forecast for later in the week, which would suit him. He's a real tough stayer, and he was never close in the finish last year. £1 lower than last year, which will help. And he's got a good record fresh. I think he's won first time out twice before. Mm-hmm. And the icing on the cake is that Jim Crowley has a tremendous record in this. The other one I'd like to mention is Act of Valor. I think that's got an obvious chance. Really good juvenile form over the winter for Paul Nichols. And he's on the same mark as when he ran on the flat in Ireland. Plus, Megan Nichols is taking £5 off. So I think that's an obvious candidate.
Okay, be interesting to see when we know who's breaking from which stall, of course. Nick?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you've got to bring Magic Circle into the equation, not just the Kukash connection, but, you know, the trainer interests me. He used to be with Rafe Beckett, but is now with Ian Williams, who proved time and again last season what a brilliant target trainer is when he picks up these kind of horses, places them to advantage really, really well, knows exactly what to do to get them right. He ran in the race last season and he's quite an eye-catcher. I think he finished fifth from a very poor draw. Mm. Hopefully he'll get lucky or luckier than he was last season this time round. So the head of the market, I do think he's solid. If there's one big price that I do like, and I've been banging on about this horse all season because he's one of mine to follow, is Amazing Red, trained by Ed Dunlop, who I think will get sneak into the bottom now because he won at Kempton last week up to 2 miles. He won very, very well. And he's a half-brother to one of my favourite horses, Red Caddo, who, of course, when he kind of hit 5 and 6, he went worldwide. He went global, didn't he? And almost won the Melbourne Cup a couple of times. He went on to do great things abroad. And Red Caddo's, Amazing Red has shown, you know, quite significant promise in his career. Looked as though last time he might be putting it all together. So I think something like the Chester Cup off a lightweight could really suit this horse. And I think he's about 20-25 to 1. I don't know if he's in Binners' lists. But if he turns up on Friday and gets a good draw, I'd be very interested in him too.
OK, Binners, can you confirm the prices, please?
Amazing. 25-1, Maddie. So that's a huge price for the millions of listeners of this great podcast.
I'm sure they'll all be jumping onto what's his selection. Have you got a particular fancy in this?
Well, James Hill has summed it up in 3 words. Act of Valour, owned by flamboyant owner Mac McNeil, one of the smoothest men in racing. There's no need for the fashion police with Batman. He keeps running well in good races over jump. And he was second before he went to Paul Nichols. He was second in a premier handicap over a mile and a half at the Curra, which is nice form from before. And if he stays the extended 2 miles, 2 furlongs, I think he'll have a massive shell.
Excellent. Right, that's Chester dealt with now. We're going to look back on the weekend's action at Newmarket. First off, Saxon Warrior. We've got to start with him. He was just imperious in the 2000 Guineas. Watsy, I'll go to you first. Reflections on that run?
Yeah, he won very easily, didn't he? I suppose if anyone wanted to look at the race negatively, you could point to the horse that finished second, Tip to Win, and try and hold it down. But I think that would be the wrong approach to take. I think it was a very easy win for Saxon Warrior. You've got to remember with the Guineas, it comes very early in the three-year-old season. It hasn't been an easy winter for them with the weather and the like. You don't know how fit they're going to be. Aiden's always progressed from run to run, so the fact he won with such authority, and the fact that he probably wants further already anyway, I think bodes very well for him. They're talking about the Triple Crown. I could see him doing it. They came very close to Camelot in 2012. I think he's got a very good chance of winning the Derby, because if you look at the Derby market, the second and third favourites, they're also O'Brien horses in Nelson and the Pentagon.
This he's must gonna be. He's going to know what he's got, then, isn't he?
He's going to know what he's got. So if nothing emerges from the trials this week, I could see the Derby being a very kind of, it's wrong word to use, non-event, but it could be a Derby like we had in Camelot's year when he went off 8-13. There wasn't really much that emerged from the trials, and he went there and won comfortably. I could see Saxon Warrior doing the same thing, in which case he's got two of the three legs of the Triple Crown. And if you take an early look at this stage at the St. Ledger betting, it's exactly the same story. Where the first five, six, seven horses in the betting, they're all O'Brien horses. Yeah. So if he decides Saxon Warrior is going to go for the Triple Crown and keeps the other ones away from it, he can kind of marshal the troops a little bit, and he could go to Doncaster with a really, really strong chance of being the first horse since Nijinsky to do this thing. I was very impressed with him.
And what do you make of the whole Deep Impact factor? Of course, Coolmore have invested in him with the likes of September. It's already paid off. This horse, you know, almost immediately they've got a new superstar on their hands. What does this mean for Deep Impact, for Coolmore, for breeding in the future, do you reckon?
Well, it's reached a very quick reward, isn't it? I'm sure he's a sire that they're going to be going to, quite a lot in the years to come. And, you know, he's obviously got he can breed milers, but he can also, I'm sure he'll get plenty of middle distance horses as well. So I think Saxon Warrior could be one of those horses that could, you know, Nijinsky wasn't at his best over a mile and six, but his class managed to see him through and he won it. So I could see Saxon Warrior doing a similar thing.
It was almost as if the Guineas was the plan B, if you like, and Derby's always been the number one for him, hasn't it? Bill, is any betting on the Derby and indeed the Triple Crown?
Yeah, well, we go even money, Saxon Warrior, Maddie. That was an unbelievable performance. I was amongst the people who thought he would be better over the Derby trip, so I can't really oppose him at the moment. We'll see how the trials go. Then it's 10 Gustav Klimt, 12 Nelson, 14 the Pentagon and Massar, who also ran a nice race, maybe suited better by a mile and a half rather than a mile, and it's 20-1 bar.
Okay, and Triple Crown?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Triple Crown, we go 5-2 Saxon Warrior. And, I mean, if he shows up, if he showed up at Doncaster, that might look big in the future.
Still, we're talking about very tough races here. Jimmy, what do you reckon?
Indeed.
For the Derby and the Triple Crown?
Yeah.
I think he's pretty short for the Derby myself, actually. I don't think he's certain to stay.
That's interesting.
His dam, her best form was over 7 furlongs to a mile. His full sister, good form, but I mean, I think it was again short of a mile. Short of a mile and a half. And I mean, the other thing about him being quite short that puts me off a bit. I whilst it was an impressive performance at Newmarket, it didn't really, for me, tell me anything new. I mean, he did have probably the best form coming into the race, being the winner of the Racing Post Trophy. We knew he was a top-class colt, so it just confirmed, you know, with a top-class performance that he is a very good horse. But we were expecting better from others, and I thought they were rather disappointing.
That's really interesting that you think that, because I feel like a lot of people have got a positive spin on it. So you're very much of the, you want to wait and see for races like the Derby.
I think he's the likeliest winner of the Derby. I'll probably think that come the day as well. But I don't think he's a nailed on certainty. As I said, I don't think on the dam side he's certain to get a mile and a half. And I just didn't think that the Guineas told us anything new, really. It's usually a very informative race, the 2000 Guineas. But I just didn't feel it was this year, because so many of the other fancy contenders were pretty disappointing. And I didn't think it was a great renewal. The time was nothing impressive. It was marginally quicker than the the mile handicap later on the card. Saxon won very well, and I'm sure there's more to come, but I don't think he's a nailed on certainty yet.
Okay. Before we go for a break, I just want to ask you too. We've mentioned some of the beaten horses. You say Massar might improve for a step up in trip. Anything you want to mention future targets wise, Nick?
Yeah, I thought Roaring Lion didn't run too badly at all. He got much closer to Massar this time than he did in the Craven. John Gosden, I think, is itching to put him over a mile and two. He might be a bit quirky because, again, he kind of hung left and he ended up on his own, you know, fighting his own race. But I think he still ran on into fifth. Wouldn't be surprised to see him in cheek pieces or something sometime soon just to help him concentrate. But he would look a natural fit for the Prix du Jockey Club, something like that over a mile and two in France. Could see him going for that race. But I thought there was plenty to take from his run.
Okay. And you, Jimmy?
I'd absolutely agree with Watsy. I mean, if there's any of the beaten horses to take out of the race, it's Roaring Lion. I mean, he was very disappointing in the Craven, and I thought that was much better. That was the horse we saw as a two-year-old. The problem with him is he keeps hanging out to his left, and that's stopping him from winning these big races. And I think that probably cost him second on Saturday. But if they can sort that out, and we know John Gosden's horses generally improve through the season, I'll be confident about him winning a Group 1 this term.
And so close to Saxon Warrior, of course, in that Racing Post Trophy last year. We'll go for a quick break now, and then we'll look at the fillies equivalent on Sunday.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
So welcome back to the Monday Postcast now. The 1,000 guineas, Billiston Brook. Who predicted that? Presuming you weren't on, Nicholas.
No, I can't own up to that, no. No, I'd be lying if I said I was. But no, I thought it was a great result. Some races you look at and it makes you scratch your head a little bit and, you know, you try and work it out and, you know, whether the form amounts to very much or not, I don't know. We'll find out. But I just think it's great when something like this comes along. 66-1. The horse is owned by a syndicate. She started from, I know she's with Richard Hannon, obviously a top trainer, but fairly humble origins compared to some of the horses that would have contested that race. And she's gone and beaten a lot of them. So hats off to her. And I'll tell you what, if anyone... you know, with access to racingpost.com, look back at the video of her winning at Goodwood as a two-year-old, because that's one of the most amazing races you'll ever see. She gets into all the trouble going. I think I was there that day. Looks like she's got absolutely no chance, and somehow Sean Levy manages to negotiate a passage through, and she goes and wins. So she's obviously very tough, and she's obviously very good as well, and who's to say that it won't work out? You know, there didn't seem to be any hard luck stories to me in that race. They all seem to have their chance. You know, if you wanted a beaten one to take out the race, I'm sure Aidan O'Brien will be delighted with the way Happily ran. She finished third, staying on well. But, you know, hats off to Billiston Brook. Whatever she does for the rest of the season, her name's in the history books and great stuff. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll move on to talking about Happily in the Oaks later on. Jimmy, reflections from the 1,000 guineas?
Well, I mean, I didn't see that coming, that result. You couldn't really see it.
I don't think anyone did.
Oh, you couldn't really see it in the form book. If there's a lesson to be learnt from it, I would say Richard Hannon, he's quite a different trainer from his father. He's now had two guineas winners, Knight of Thunder at 40-1 in the 2,000 guineas, and this one at 66-1. Both are pretty similar. Both big price winners, left their two-year-old form well behind.
Beaten in their trials as well.
Beaten in their trials. It came on massively from their reappearance. And maybe as punters, we might be a bit guilty of just thinking he's a similar trainer to his father. I don't think he is. His father did very well with sharp early types, got them very fit first time out. I think Richard's different. I think, dare I say, he's almost more in the Michael Stout mold of just bringing horses along steadily, letting them mature and blossom at the right time. And look, I mean, Billiston Brook, she ran eight times as a juvenile, but... we certainly didn't see the best of her till Sunday, and she's really come alive.
Okay. Binners, what was your thoughts on the 1,000 guineas?
Richard Hannon, when he won the free handicap with Ananarium, he told the press that day, he suggested that Billiston Brook was the better filly of the two. She was slowly into stride in the trial at Newmarket, but I'm completely after timing, and she was nowhere on my radar.
Okay, and we've got any prices on her for future races?
Yeah, we put her into the Coronation Stakes at 10-1, Maddie. Probably think she's probably a miler, but you know, you never know. She might get 10 furlongs, but 10-1 for the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot.
Okay, well, they've mentioned the connections of Laurens have said she could go to France now. She ran a great race on ground that probably was a bit quick for her. We talked about the Oaks. Lartidar, of course, won the Pretty Polly, catching a lot of people's eyes happily as well. Who would you have in your shortlist for the Oaks at the minute, Watson?
The two horses you just mentioned. Lartidar took... I was really impressed with her performance because she took a while to get on top. Probably found the ground a touch quick. But when she got to the front, she really did power away and she put daylight between her and the second-placed horse. So I think over a mile and a half at Epsom, where they, you know, they water these days to make sure it never does get too fast. So she should be at home on that front. I was very impressed with her at Newbury first time out as well. So she was just kind of adding to that impression. And of course, she's got a fantastic pedigree to back that up. If you're fans of Happily or Lardidar, you've got a lot to take from both of their runs, because Happily, like I said earlier, I mentioned briefly, stayed on really nicely at the end of the 1,000 guineas. There's no form like classic form. And I'm sure she'll be heading to Epsom next with a run under her belt and a lot of improvement to come. So again, she would have to be high on your radar for the Oaks too.
And which one would be number one? Lartidar, maybe?
I think I would just edge towards Happily at the moment. She ran a little bit better than I expected. I thought I Can Fly might be the one from the Aidan O'Brien camp for the fillies race. But for her first run of the season, I thought that was very encouraging.
Okay, and before we go to Jimmy Binners, can we have some Oaks betting, please?
You certainly can, Maddie. Lartidar, great performance at Newmarket. 4-1 favourite. Happily, 6-1, unchanged after the guineas. So, you know, over a mile and a half, she may well improve dramatically. Another O'Brien horse, September, 8-1. 12-1 Wild Illusion, 16 I Can Fly, and it's 20 bar.
I think I'd be a bigger fan of Happily at those prices. As you say, classic form. Jimmy, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, I was impressed with Lartidar in the Pretty Polly, and she clearly stays very well. But I thought that was a good 1,000 guineas on Sunday. I thought it was a better race than the 2,000 guineas. The first five who followed the winner home, I think they all ran absolute crackers. And in particular, Happily, I think she'll come on for the run nicely. She stayed on well. We know she's got that touch of class. And yeah, you prefer her at the prices.
Okay, now lots of other great racing at Newmarket over the weekend. We saw Defoe win, of course, after being caught a little bit flat-footed, a bit of a worrying moment there, but he overcame that. Wahida as well, Breeders' Cup winner, made a really nice return. Any eye-catchers that have perhaps gone under the radar? Binners, I'll go to you first.
Well, it is unoriginal, Maddie, but I really liked Defoe when he won at Newbury on his seasonal debut. Disappointed in the St. Ledger. I'm not sure Roger Varian knows what happened that day, because I understand he was training well up until that race. But as you said, he looked like he might have been caught, you know, flat-footed at Newmarket at the weekend. He overcame those difficulties with no difficulties. And it will be very interesting to see if he goes for the Tattersalls Gold Cup at the Curra, and we make him 4 from 5 for that Group 1 race. And I think this is possibly a top-class horse.
I'd be interested to see him in something like the Ark at the end of the season. I really like Defoe. Eye-catchers, Watson?
There's a couple of horses that might drop back in trip for the Commonwealth Cup, which could be quite interesting. James Garfield is one. His trainer afterwards was talking about dropping back in trip, whether that might be for the Jersey Stakes or the Commonwealth Cup. I'm not sure yet. Another one, Expert Eye, didn't run any sort of race in the 2,000 guineas at all. But again, he's another one. I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped in trip, because he has had problems settling in the past and that kind of thing. So I think a breakneck speed, maybe dropping back to his 6 furlongs, might suit him quite well. So again, no show on Saturday. You couldn't recommend it on what he produced in the guineas. But I just wonder if he'll drop back in trip and prove to be a superstar back, you know, over 6 furlongs maybe, you know, to help him settle better.
Okay, so some Royal Ascot pointers from Nick. Jimmy?
I was just very impressed with Wahida in the Daily Stakes. I thought she was absolute different class to the rest, giving them that weight and winning so easily. You had to be impressed. When she gets really quick ground, I mean, as we saw in America, I mean, she's really, really good. And it's only got to be a matter of time before she takes on the Colts in top company. It should be interesting.
Of course, she beat Rhododendron over in America. Right, that should about do us for this postcast. We'll be back again on Friday, as usual, to preview the weekend's action. In the meantime, if you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe to us on iTunes. Goodbye, and we'll see you then.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.